Welcome to Thoughts Off the Stem. I'm Justin Baroni, and today we're talking about man stuff. Thanks for joining me on your Friday at 4:20. Hopefully you enjoyed the sesh. Hopefully you have a good time. Now let me tell you what we're going to be smoking here. That's right. All right. Well, I know it's been a while. excuse me. I'm just getting over a little bit of a cough. But I know it's been a while since I've recorded an episode. I've done quite a few things. So we're going to talk about some of them. I figured what we would do is, I haven't been down here in a while. I got to readjust this chair. There we go. Now we're at the right spot. Okay. So basically what I wanted to talk about this week was what I've been up to, I guess, and a few man things that I have questions about. So hopefully you enjoyed the sesh, hopefully you have a good time, and again, thank you for joining me, Justin Baroni, your friendly neighborhood pothead, on Friday at 4:20 to start your weekend off. Hi. Cheers. I'm having a coffee. I just want to stay awake for this. Ooh, just spit coffee everywhere. Okay, so today in the bong, we're smoking Cookie Cake, which I've mentioned before, by Green Seal. I love it. It's a sativa. It's really nice. That's why I smoked it in the bong, because it's been a while since I've done a bong hit and had to talk for a bit. So this Cookie Cake, this version, is 33.8% THC. What else does it have here? Anything exciting? There is, what's their terp situation? I don't know. I don't think it says on here. Although I have noticed in the last few days that I think I'm nearsighted. I think I need to go to the eye doctor and get my eyes checked. I do have reading glasses, but I've noticed anything really close to my face is kind of fucks me up, I guess you could say. But yeah. All right, so let's get into it. So I wanted to tell you about... Oh yeah, sorry. Lost my head. So that Cookie Cake was in the bong. That's what we're smoking in the bong, a sativa. And then I've got a couple of joints here. I've got one that I rolled, which is the Cherry AK by 1964. If you're looking for a hybrid with like a really nice middle-of-the-road high and like a good balance of body buzz and head high, that's the one to go for. The other thing I've got, this is more sleepy time, so I figured I'd save it till the end of the episode, are these things called Smokies by Boondocks, I believe. And it is a chamomile blunt wrap with live resin-infused purple punch. And they're also 33.7%. See, that's why I like Green Seal. They don't need to put steroids in their joint. There's not actually steroids in here. I'm just saying, they don't have to upgrade their weed to make it good, to get it to that high percentage, because their percentages are very accurate. Like, what they say you're going to experience in terms of percentage of THC is absolutely reflective of the end result of that joint. So yeah, if you're looking for something really good, a really nice sativa that will literally change your world when you look down at the ground and smoke, take those couple of hits and then you look up, next thing you know, yeah, your world's a little different. The view's a little skewed, I guess you could say. You feel more relaxed. It's a really nice high, and surprising for a sativa too. These Boondocks are much more sleepy time weed. If you're gonna buy them, expect to, especially with the chamomile wrap, you can really taste it. So you can pretty much expect to smoke that before bed, because that's like a really good lead into going to sleep for sure. 100%. So that's what we're smoking today. What we're talking about today is, I've done a lot of shit. I'm sure you guys had a great summer and everything, and we're getting into fall with the kids starting school and all that fun shit. One thing I want to talk about is I actually had the opportunity this summer to get high with my mom for the first time. And it's been something I've been wanting to do forever, because when she drinks, she's hilarious. Her and I are kind of a similar personality when we're high. I mean, sorry, when we're drinking. We're social, loud, say stupid shit, talk about dumb things, all that fun stuff. So I have been trying for, I don't know, a little while to coerce my mom into getting high with me. Now, she obviously won't smoke it, and she gives me shit about smoking joints all the time, but she will edible it. That's right. So when I went out to Calgary, I took my kids out for a 2-week trip out to Calgary this summer so we could go see my parents, my sister and family and all that stuff, and, you know, have a good time, see the cousins again and whatever. So one day, Okay, my sister decides that she's gonna take the kids out to swimming or something like that. There was an event in the morning that she took them to, and then I was gonna go swimming with them in the afternoon. So in the morning, when I go visit my parents, it's just like have drinks, have a good time, do whatever, eat a lot of food, sit around, talk shit, have a good time. So have some laughs, all that shit. So this particular day, my mom and I decided to have Bailey's in our coffee. It was still like 11 a.m. Okay, so I think it was Bailey's. Maybe we'd moved on. I don't remember. Anyway, the point is this: the night before, I had gone to the weed store because even though, oh yeah, and I've got a good airport tip for you too. Okay, so I bring a lot of weed with me, but I generally bring like vape carts and concentrates just because they're easier and they're a quicker hit when you're moving around, right? So I had my vape carts with me, but I really wanted something different. And I wanted to get my mom high. So I was talking to my dad and I'm like, how do you, like, what do you think mom will take? And he goes, oh, edibles, get her an edible. So I've talked about this before too, CBG. If you're looking for a high that will give you the giggles, that'll make you super happy, give you that perma smile look and that, I feel real good about me for no fucking reason feeling. Anything with CBG will do it. So I had been normally eating the pearls, which are little blue gummies that look like little pearls, that have CBG, and I take like three of them and like, yeah, I feel real good about being me. And so when I got to Alberta, I thought, you know what I'll do is I'll or after I talked to my dad, I was like, okay, I'll go grab some of those gummies. So I go to the store and I'm asking them if they have it. And she's like, no, we're out. And I said, okay, so what do you have that has CBG in it? Now, I forgot about Spinach Feels. Spinach Feels is a yellow package, okay? It's got THC and CBG in it. For whatever reason, because didn't stop smoking. I was still like, I'm like my tolerance hadn't gotten lower, is my point. And these gummies are capped out at 10% of THC for the whole package. There's only two in here, so they're 5% and 5%, right? Then they've got, I think those ones have 20 milligrams maybe of CBG. Either way, it's relatively low dosages, is my point. Okay, so for my mom, I was like, half of this will be fine, but for me, I'm gonna have to eat like a whole package, obviously, maybe two, because even with the pearls, everything is all 10 milligrams, right? So with the pearls, even though they're more effective for whatever reason, which I have a theory on, I'll talk about it in a second, but basically, having these gummies, I bought the Feels CBG gummies. I bought them out, so I bought like four or five packs, whatever they had left. So I bought that. I take them home. We're sitting down. We're eating this. My mom, I go, hey, you wanna eat an edible? And she's like, yeah, for sure. So, so I go, okay, we'll have one of these ones, right? And I pop open the package and she goes to take the whole thing. I'm like, no, just half, have half of it, right? Within 20 minutes, she was giggling like uncontrollably about stupid shit. You're perfect and like almost like a newbie to getting high, your first time high with the giggles and you don't really know what's going on, whatever. And she's having a great time. We're both talking, shit, making jokes, whatever. She's laughing. I'm starting to giggle and I'm thinking to myself, I ate two of these. And like, this doesn't normally have this effect on me. So what the hell's going on here? And I realized that I think, okay, I don't know if this is true, but I believe that the edibles that are at 10%, one of two things is happening. Either they're lying about what the percentage actually is, which I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if that's the case. I don't know that I buy into it, right? And then the other thing is that if it's made with distillate, no matter what percentage of distillate, or I mean, percentage of THC is in that, if it's made with distillate, it seems to hit stronger. So I'm thinking that's the case. It was a distillate. Either that or it's Alberta and there's a different situation going on there. And like they're definitely higher percentages, higher potency than what they state. I don't know. I'm not accusing anybody. What I'm saying is these were fucking delicious. I was having a beer at one point. I'm giggling away. And then my sister comes to pick us up and I'm at the pool fucking balls high. Not really. Wasn't really balls high, but I was feeling great, right? And I decided not to go swimming. I laying down in the sun was just like the perfect setup. But to get high with my mom for the first time was fucking awesome, okay? It was so much fun. We're just sitting there shooting the shit. She's laughing at stuff. Like, we're telling jokes to each other, having a great time. It's been a while since I've seen them, so it was really fun to do that. And then as we're doing that, my dad comes out, and he's like, "Hey, what'd you give her?" And I told him, and he goes, "All right. So that's like a daily thing now. We give her that all the time." My mom does a lot of stuff. She's very active, and she never really sits down and takes time for herself when she really should. So sometimes over the course of a day or two, she gets a little wound up. You know what I'm saying? And she's like a little, you know what she's like? She's like one of those little yappy dogs. I don't mean this mean, Mom. What I mean is that, like, she's like the little dog that's like, "Yeah, let's go do stuff. Let's go do stuff. Guys. You know, running back and forth between shit and, you know, just having a good time. Like, keeping herself occupied. But sometimes I feel like she needs to sort of, like, ease into life a little better. You know, just calm it down, have a good time, laugh at the stupid shit. So when she took the CBG gummies and she seemingly had this, like, amazing reaction of like just real fun positivity, and I'm clearly feeling really fucking good about being her, you know. I was like, "Yeah, you have to take these every day for you. These are your vitamins, like Flintstones vitamins, CBG. You gotta get the CBG in you." So that was a pretty awesome time. It was a good day anyway. My dad was fine and hilarious. We gave him some too. Everybody gets the giggles on CBG. Don't discount CBG, man. Even though it's not psychoactive, that complemented with THC really gives you like a... It amps up the high, but in a good way. I feel like I've said this before. But yeah, it amps up the high in a really good way. Like it makes the high really positive. Even if, because I've been smoking sativas and then had CBG, and some sativas will make me really feel like, you know, I have a lot of anxiety or like I've had too much coffee, you know, where like one, there's very few sativas that hit me in the way that I want them to. I want them to give me the giggles, but I want it without the feeling of having like 18 cups of coffee, you know, because I don't want to get to the jitter point. I don't want jitters. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to feel like I'm bouncing around everywhere and all that shit. I want to just enjoy the giggles and have good conversation. That is a good sativa to me. And like cookie cake, that's a good one for that, man. You want to have a nice conversation. You want to have some giggles, tell some jokes. That's the shit you want to smoke for sure. This cherry AK is a little bit more like dock weed. Like, you're at a cottage, you're sitting out on the dock watching the sun, having a few beers, you have absolutely nothing to do. Maybe you fish off the dock, I don't know. I don't know what you do, but that would be fun, you know? So all this different, that's why I like being in the position that I'm in, because I know what I'm looking for, and I know that you can ride, like, if you find the right type of weed for you, you can have a really good time throughout the day without exhausting yourself or, like, overdoing it, you know? Because let's be honest, overdoing it is like, you don't really want to do that, man. I always feel like you want to smoke weed responsibly, you know, as best as you can. Like, don't, if you have shit to do, don't smoke weed. I've said this a lot, because like, if I have shit to do, I don't smoke weed. When I go into work, I'm not high. Don't be high when you're at work. But I also think that too many people think that weed does something for them that it doesn't. You know, I think that there are people that definitely need or can benefit from using weed in the day. But those people that I see that use it, that weed sort of levels them out as opposed to like takes them in a different like stupid direction. A lot of those people have like ADD or like real heavy anxiety and things like that. And I think that it's beneficial for you to smoke weed because it doesn't necessarily affect your overall function, right? It doesn't take away from it. It actually adds to a calm, like it levels some people out to the point where it's almost like a level of normal, you know? So I totally understand that. But I do see a higher abundance, I guess you could say, of people that think weed does that for them, but when you're watching them, it fucking doesn't, you know? Like, people have a very a very big misconception of how they appear on weed. And this podcast has really helped me understand that. Because there's a lot of times when I'm talking and I'm like, oh my God, what the fuck is happening? Am I losing it? What's going on? And I'll go watch it back and I'll be like, oh, it's fine. You can't, it doesn't look like it felt, you know, like it doesn't seem like it comes across that way. I don't know. You let me know. Again, I'm sorry I've been away. I had to take care of a few things. Had to get high with my mom, you know. Had a little bit of car trouble. Have started to realize where, you know, fucking being a man, taking care of responsibilities. I know that everybody wants to say, oh, well, that's like a human thing. Everyone should do it. Sure, fine. But as a man in my 40s, I want to feel, I guess you could say in a traditional sense, that I'm a man. That I'm a provider, a protector, you know, that I can make the right decisions and good decisions for like a group of people, you know what I mean? For family and things like that, and not get us into any kind of tight spots or things like that. So over the course of this summer, well, really years, but it came to a head this summer where I realized that people say they want certain things, but then their actions don't reflect achieving what you need to achieve to obtain those things. Even if it's right down to an emotional thing. I'm not even talking about like, I'm talking about relationships. I'm talking about how you handle situations. I'm not talking about material things, like not working to achieve to buy something. I'm talking about working to achieve, you know, the ideal like situation for you in life. You know, you're working for your purpose, I guess you could say. And I find that a lot of people say all the pretty shit, but they don't really get that, like, you can't have your cake and eat it too all the time. You know, you have to put in some effort to get effort back. So as an example of this, around the time I had gone to Alberta, I had met this woman online, and I was hesitant at first, because I've dated a few women in the past, but like, I don't know if I'm not ready for a relationship, or, you know, if it's just I haven't met people that make me ready for a relationship, you know what I'm saying? But I've gotten to the point now where I'm kind of like, yeah, you know what, I would like a partner, a companion, somebody that I could talk to, that I'm not always trying to help, that is more of an equal, right? As opposed to somebody that I feel like I want to protect and I want to support and things like that. But I want somebody that's, you know, in an equal sort of state of mind, I guess you could say. And one of the things as a single dad and separated from my ex, one of the things that I've always done is take care of whatever the kids need, right? And get them to places, even if my ex couldn't get them there. Okay. So I'll use this story as an example. So not this summer, but last summer, she had taken my kids up to a cottage. Now, she had gotten a ride from somebody up that way who was driving her and my children. Okay. I'd never met this dude before. He was just a friend, apparently, whatever. I don't care. So I meet him as before they're leaving, and I shake his hand and I'm like, listen, man, these are my babies. Drive safe, you know? So this guy, yeah, man, no problem. I promise I'll take care. I'll drive. I'll be extra careful, all this stuff. Okay. Fucking 45 minutes into the drive, man, I'm getting texts from my kids about how this guy's like all over the road. He's slamming on his brakes. He's being a general jackass. He's like trying to piss the kids off, things like that. So obviously, as they're traveling, I can't go get them, but I'm fucking fuming, okay? And now, again, remember, this is my kid's mom had set this up, right? So as a man, this is why I say we're talking about man shit, okay? As a man, if you are responsible for another man's children, you take care of those children as if they're your own. You know what I'm saying? Okay? Number one. Number two, you don't act like a jackass. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you, okay? So I'm pissed, and now my kids, the whole week that they're at this cottage, are texting me saying, like, I don't want to drive home with them, I don't want to do this, and obviously I'm not going to make them drive home with them. That's fucking crazy, right? So I end up having to go up in the middle of a week and pick them up, and bring them back. Okay. So I get up there on a Thursday at like 11 o'clock at night and I'm fucking fuming because like this guy, fuck you, you know, you don't fucking do shit like that with my kids, with anyone's kids. What is wrong with you? You know? And, so I walk into the cottage. I see my ex's sister standing there. I go, so how is this guy? She's like, he seems fine. And I turn around. I go, yeah, sure. I walk out. I see him at the table on the back. I sit down. I go, hey, man, what's the fucking deal here? And he goes, what? I go, you told me you were going to drive real nice and real safe with my kids. I'm getting texts that you're driving like a fucking lunatic. What are you doing? I said, what is wrong with you? Like, why would you tell me to my face that, yeah, you're going to take care of it and you're actively trying to piss my kids off and scare the shit out of them? For what purpose does that serve? Because right now I'm just pissed at you and I'm now here having to bring my kids back because you're a fucking 8-year-old. This fucking dude went white. I said all that shit to him. I'm not kidding. I'm not lying for a second. Word for fucking word. I was pissed. So then he goes white and he's like, hey man, look, you know, like I wasn't, nobody said that. And I was like, every one of the kids has texted me to tell me that you're driving like a jackass. What the fuck, man? Like the one place you need to be concerned about is driving safely 6 fucking hours away in the bush, you jackass, you know? So we have this talk. I tell him, hey, so I'm here, obviously. I'm taking the kids home tomorrow. My ex gets pissed at me, so she's like, I'm riding with him home. And the guy goes, yeah, no, I think your oldest daughter just wants to go with you. I'll take your son and your youngest home. And I fucking turn. I look at him. I go, what'd you just say? He goes, yeah, no, I just think your oldest daughter wants to go home with you. I think the other one's like, I'll take them home. I was like, I turned. I did the whole like jackass thing where I put my chest up to his and I go, motherfucker, those are my kids. You're not telling me you're taking them anywhere. Don't get out of line because like this is going to work end up very badly for you. Okay. So this guy kind of pushes back for a second and then the kids come out and they all go, we're going with him. Like this guy is fucking delusional. Okay. So after that, I was like, I can't do shit like this all the time. I mean, it's not fair that the kids would miss out on something like a trip to the cottage or something like that. But at the same time, it's, I feel like they have to make it, like they're in a position where they're old enough that they can make the choice of whether or not to go, provided they feel like they're safe, you know? And, after this year, because that was not this year, but last year, this year, same thing. They go up to the cottage. There's no plans made to go up. The kids won't go with anybody that's driving. That's her friend, you know? So I go, fine, you know what I'll do? I'll drive you up and I'll bring you, and then I'll come back up like last year and I'll pick you back up and drive you home. So you don't have to drive with a friend of mom's or whatever. Okay. Fucking drive them up there. Dude, what a bad idea, you know? Like, I have no problem driving my kids, but my ex and I don't get along very well, so you know what I'm saying. So, okay, so then we get there, and I stay the night. I go to leave the next morning. As soon as I leave the driveway, my fucking check engine light comes on. Are you fucking kidding me? 5 minutes out of the driveway. I'm like, I can't turn back. If I turn back, I'm stuck. I have to keep going. So I start making phone calls to like the dealer and stuff like that. And now I knew that my transmission was having a hard time recently. And I had tried to get Dodge to fix it. Okay. Well, guys, you did a great job in the end. However, there were a few things that I would like to change in the service department next time. Okay. I had the concern that my transmission was going to go like 2 years ago, all right? I kept asking them to try and fix it. Because the computer didn't say anything, they wouldn't fix it, okay? So coming out of this driveway, fucking thing breaks, right? So the engine light comes on because I can feel it. Into third gear, there was a real hard shift, like, and then bang, you'd be in third gear. Well, this time, it didn't bang into third gear. It just kept revving. So I'm like, fuck. So I put it into manual mode, and in manual, because you're shifting the gears purposely, you know, on your own, then it will do it. So I drove the entire way home like that after talking to a few of the Dodge dealerships, saying like, well, yeah, It's most likely the transmission. Drive it slow. If anything else changes, stop, you know, get it towed to wherever. So, okay, cool. So I drive home. I don't have a problem. Keep in mind, for the second year, I feel like I'm being fucking put out. And in like more ways than one. Every time I try to do something that's helpful in these situations, like drive them to a cottage that's fucking 6 hours away, you know, next thing I know, I'm back home with some kind of giant car bill. Now, in this case, I knew that I was going to have this problem. I just was hoping that it didn't happen then, but it did. So I take it in. Sure enough, they tell me, you know what? You need a new transmission. Now, keep in mind, a year ago, I had sold my house, okay? I had the money to buy a brand new transmission because I knew there was a problem, but they wouldn't diagnose the problem. So this is where I'm kind of ticked off at Dodge, okay? So they wouldn't diagnose, they wouldn't even look for the problem because it didn't say anything in the computer system. I hate that we're at that point in, like, life. Like, can't you, like, mechanic it, figure it out, drive it. Test it. See what you can do. You know what I'm saying? Figure out the problem. Because I would have bought a brand new transmission because it's still cheaper than buying a new car at this point. And this car is in great shape except for this one little issue. Okay? So, that would have been my intent a year ago. Now, I'm here. And at that point, I'd already mentioned it to them like at least a year before that, possibly two. Okay? Where they were just like, oh, whatever, let it break. So eventually it does break. Now, this is what I would like to see in that initial conversation. This is what I learned at this when I brought it in after the drive home from the cottage, okay? I learned that there are three options for a brand new fucking transmission, okay? You don't have to buy a brand new one. You can buy a rebuilt one, and you can buy a used one off of like a car wreck. If I had been given those three options last year, I would have just paid to get one put in. You see what I'm saying? Because I had the money. So like bad move on the service part to be like, oops, I should have told you, you know? Yes, you should have told me. Because now my money's wrapped up in investments and I have to figure out what the fuck to do to pay for this. I'll figure it out, but I got it. It's not, you know? So anyway, I get to that point and then I take it and they give me the three options. And the three options are brand new at like 15 grand, okay? Rebuilt at like almost 9 grand. And then used one off a car wreck, 4 or 5, somewhere in there, okay? So naturally at the point that I'm in, I get the one that's off a car wreck. Luckily it had less mileage on it than mine and it's working really great right now. But it's surprising to me that when I was being vocal about it, basically saying, I want to know what this is going to cost me because I can feel it coming and I'm going to have to pay for it and I'm going to pay for it because I'm not scrapping the car. I love this car, you know, and they still wouldn't help out. You could have had 15 grand. Instead, you got 4. That's a bad move on your part. I'm not even kidding, man. I would have. I had the money from the house sale to be like, yes, car, you know. I had no debt. I already owned the car. I'm keeping it. So what are we talking about here? I mean, just think about it. Anyway, that's how that went down. So then that happened, like, as soon as I got back, I couldn't get it in right away. So I couldn't get it in till Thursday, the day that I was actually supposed to leave. Well, guess what happens? Of course, they can't fix it that day. They have to order the part from the wrecking yard or wherever the fuck the crash car is, right? Bring that in. And now, how the fuck am I going to get these kids home? So I spent a day on the phone trying to figure out how to get them home. There was no train station close enough. There was no bus station close enough. The car that, you know, her sister had, she's got her own stuff. She's got her kids. She's got, like, you know, all the stuff she brought up that she's got to take back. So, like, I get it. She can't take them everywhere. There's fucking 4 of them. You know what I'm saying? So, luckily, there's a smart person in our family. My 15-year-old. She calls a friend, and she's, you know, upset about the situation because she's a worried wart. And the friend basically says, hey, we've got a third car. We got a new car. We've got a third one now. Do you want to borrow that one? And so I'm like, yeah, obviously, for sure. Absolutely. You know, the problem with borrowing a car is that you have to worry about that car now. because you don't want to break that one. And every time I fucking go up there and come back, there's a problem with something. So I took it nice and easy going up and everything was fine. But this moment, these moments of having to go like bail out the situation and save it. And then getting, I got no thank you. I mean, the kids, yes, but I got no thank you. I got no real appreciation for taking that time to go and do that to help them out so that they wouldn't be stuck and they could enjoy something, you know, and I could have a little time to myself, to be honest. I'm not going to lie. I wanted a little time to myself, man. So, you know, yeah, it was those moments and sort of these, like, even going back to, like, eating the gummies with my mom, there's certain moments where you realize, like, there's just, like, man shit you got to take care of. You know, and you have to deal with it in a certain way. You have to handle it with a little bit of dignity. You have to find the middle ground on a lot of things. But you always have to take care of your responsibility. But at some point, if you're pushed far enough, you start to realize that I don't have to do all of this stuff now. Like, my kids are old enough that they can make the choice whether or not they want to do what their mom wants to go do. Because her track record of being able to follow through on that is, like, not great, you know? Whereas I'm around all the time. I'm involved in everything. So, you know, it's... it's been a real eye-opening August and September, I guess you could say, for me. Because I started to really notice that... there's a lot of people out there that just want things to go their way. Like I said, I met this woman, we talked and, you know, saw each other for about a month. And then it seemed like everything was going good. My man brain, everything seemed good. She was talking about, you know, being boyfriend, girlfriend and all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? And it was kind of surprising to me because this was a relationship where I invited that, like, it was good. Whereas before I've been like, no, I'm okay. You know? So it was good. But then within like 4 days, I'd say, we'd been talking and seeing each other for about a month, like I said, and within 4 days, all of a sudden things changed. And it wasn't working. And so I was like, the only reason that I'm telling you this is because partially I'm trying to work it out in my head because it doesn't make a lot of sense. But I also, if there's anybody out there that has any advice on like what I missed, because I find myself to be a pretty observant person. And, you know, I can generally get along with everybody. And I can read situations, I think, relatively well enough that, you know, I'm aware of how the situation's going, you know, and it seemed to be going very well until one day. When I expressed an incident that had happened, I expressed my feelings about an incident that had happened, and she didn't like that I did. Now, I wasn't trying to, you know, make anybody feel bad. I was just trying to say, hey, like, you know, I was expecting to do a couple things with you and it didn't go that way. So I was kind of bummed out, I guess. And that was it. Like, I was just trying to let her know that it bummed me out that that had happened, as opposed to trying to say like, hey, don't do that again. Why the fuck would you do that? You know what I mean? Like, I was trying to be diplomatic about it, let's say, because I didn't realize, cause I hadn't met anybody. I didn't realize that I was starting to like this person, right? Much more than anybody else. Like, I was saying to my dad, there were times when I was thinking like I wouldn't see her for a bit. I'd be like, oh, I wish she was here. Whereas up until this point, most of the time I'd be like, you still here? It's so bad to say, but it's true. Okay. I'm just being honest here. So then when all of a sudden I get this text of like, hey, you know, this isn't working out. I'm like, why? What all of a sudden changed? And stupid me texted that, asked that question. And then in about 30 minutes, I was like, wait a minute. No, hold on. Because so I wrote back, no, never mind. Don't worry about it. Take care. Right? But I'm trying to figure out what I missed. Because everything seemed to be going good. We seemed to have like similar personalities. We were into the same things. There were a couple moments early on, but I figured just because it was early on that, you know, there were things that were like, oh, I don't know if I could get with this, you know, but they were inconsequential in the grand scheme of things, like just little things, you know? And so I was trying not to be all judgmental and shit. So I was going, it was getting good. Like we were getting along. I like talking to this person, telling them things or talking to them about things. And then, yeah, all of a sudden it went to the wayside and I'm only confused because in this situation, there really was no like catalyst for disaster. There was no fight. There was no, like, it was just a switch in personality, I guess. Or maybe she just wanted me for my body. I don't know, but I would want me for my body. I'm just kidding. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happened there. And I remember explaining it to Tyler. And I was telling him, I was like, as much as I was, you know, opening up to this woman, like when she ended it, I was kind of like, okay. It was almost like I saw it coming. Well, I mean, in the last, like I said, I can read situations. So in the last couple days of us talking, I noticed a shift in, you know, personality, like how you, not personality, but like connection, you know, all of a sudden something was different sort of thing. Not as much text coming through or not as much stuff or not as many times, you know? And, so I remember, I noticed that, but I was just like, I don't get it. I don't get the mentality. It's almost like people want other people to only believe and see things the way they see things. Because the only thing that I could come across that really seemed to bother her was she asked me once how I felt about Michael Jackson. And I was like, I like his music. I listen to it. I love Billie Jean, you know, all that stuff. And she's like, okay, but, you know, do you think that he did it? And I was like, I feel like 80-20, maybe 70-30. Yeah, maybe 70-30. Like, I'm not totally convinced that he did it. But at the same time, if I found out with, like, complete evidence and proof and, like, hard facts that he did do it, I don't know if it would surprise me that much. That's what I told her, okay? And that's when I noticed, like, the crack in the armor or the kink in the armor, whatever. It was, she didn't like that because I was like, but why? You know, because I don't think that anybody that's not there, that's not act like in that situation can really say 100% that somebody did something like that. Like they're, you know, I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying as an outsider hearing information through multiple sources before, you know, or to make your decision is not necessarily the most reliable. So yeah, I don't know that he did it. I want to think that he didn't, but if there was, you know, indisputable fact that he did, you know, I don't know how surprised I'd be. So I don't know. And she got mad at that. Now, fair enough. But should that really be the catalyst for being like, this isn't working out? Because I'm not sure if Michael Jackson did that. Like, I don't care. Do you care? Like, how does that affect your life on a daily basis? Is it that rooted in your daily emotional well-being that you had to rely on that as your, like, deal breaker? It's so weird. I don't know. I didn't get it. But then again, that's only my side, and there's always two sides, and there's some sort of answer in the middle. I don't know, maybe I was not, like, maybe I just wasn't as, like, touchy-feely as she wanted me to be. I don't know. Flirty, that's the word I was looking for. So in all these instances happening in a short period of time where, you know, I went from having, like, an awesome time with my mom, getting high, talking shit, to, I guess, a really quick, I guess you could call it relationship. Well, when you look back on it, it seems like maybe fuck buddy situation, but it was definitely not presented that way. Anyway, my point is that through all these instances, right, I've started to feel like more and more, because I work with a lot of younger people, more and more younger people need to understand that you don't need to fight everything. Sometimes, like, the best advice I ever got was you catch more bees with honey, right? So I remember being a relatively agitated young man who would sometimes take his anger out on the people around him in the form of getting mad and yelling, and sometimes saying stupid shit. But I also have always had a sense of taking care of my responsibilities. And I find that now there's not a lot of belief in men to take care of their responsibilities. But I think people are missing it. I think that as single dads, there's a lot more of us than you know that are taking care of business. You always hear like the bullshit part where, oh, he left, he didn't do this, he didn't do that. But for like every one of those guys, I think there's like five that are actually doing the right thing, taking care of their kids, being the responsible parent. And in terms of, you know, also keeping some of your own sanity, you have to learn within that framework what is really your responsibility and what's going to wear you down. Because doing the shit like going up to pick these guys up at the cottage and all that stuff and running them around with no thank you from their mother or anything like that gets on your nerves after a while. Because basically I look at it like I'm Jason Statham. I'm just the driver, man. I'm dropping you off there and then I'm coming back home. That's it, you know. I'm just not doing it in a day because I know where you're going and who you are. So I'll sleep over and then I'll leave, you know. But like, a lot of people don't understand that. And I find that some women are very surprised by the amount of, I guess, work I put in to taking care of my kids and getting them what they want and giving them what they need, you know. I feel like this is like getting to a ramble. What I'm saying is that a lot of guys, I think, need to man up a bit. And I think there's the same amount of women that have a misconception that men don't take care of their responsibilities in the way that they should. Sorry, I just took a hit of this. It's the Boondocks Smokies. It really got me right there. I've also totally like lost track of what my point was because I said, oh, we're going to talk about man shit. So far, all I've told you about is getting my mom high, driving my kids to a cottage, my car breaking down, having to get a new transmission. That's basically the same thing. What else? And then, oh, this woman I dated. This is the point that I'm trying to get across. Okay. I'm a very honest and straight up person. What you see is what you get. What I say is what I mean. What I mean is what I do. Okay. There's no sugarcoating shit with me. I understand people better when they're straight up and they're not trying to, you know, pull off some bullshit. And I like to think that I can sniff out the bullshit. In this case, I was unable to sniff out the bullshit. But in the reaction, if the case was that she was pissed off about this Michael Jackson thing, in that reaction, I know now that I'm dealing with a crazy person. Right? Because why would that shut down a relationship? I don't have to believe everything that you believe for us to get along. Because we were doing, You know, we were having a great time before that. Everything was clicking. But all of a sudden, Michael Jackson is now the catalyst for the end of a relationship. Doesn't matter to me, because all it tells me is that I dodged a bullet. If after a month, maybe it's a game. I once had a girl in university dump me, and her friend tells me, oh, she dumped you to see if you'd fight for her. And I was like, did you tell her I'm not that dude? She was like, I did. I told her straight up, like, he's not that guy. He's not coming back. If you say no, you're done, right? I don't go backwards, man. There's no going back. Like, if you say you don't want to be with me, I'm out. That's fine. And then in this situation, I started to realize, like, my bullshit meter has started to slack because I've spent too much time with my kids. I need more grown-up interaction so that I can get the meter reader back on track. Because I've got the taking care of my responsibilities down. That's fine. You know, we've got... Everything is lined up nice this year. So I don't have to worry about that. But I like to see, because I give a lot of kids at my shop, you know, advice on how to do some things. And don't get me wrong, I'm not perfect. And they know this. And if I don't know something, though, I'll tell you I don't know. You should ask someone else. But there are certain things that I can talk about that, you know, they can find beneficial to applying to their life. You know, like a work ethic, a way to think that's, you know, a little more outside of the box than the mainstream sort of, oh, well, if people say this, it must be that kind of thing. You know, there's a lot of gray in there. And a lot of the times the gray area is where you find the truth and where you find the real people that really stand on like a moral or principled ground, you know. And I think guys... Even though they do more of that, I think more of us need to do more of that in a better way, man. As humans, really, we have to stop talking shit to each other and, like, just lay it out. Be like, hey, man, you're a good dude. No, I'm a fucking asshole. Okay, cool. I'll leave you alone then. Like, let's just be straight up about it, you know? Also, try to get a fucking along. Because everybody that I've met in the last little while has definitely been more out for themselves than for, it's like a pity party. Like when you talk to people now, like all those things that I did with the kids and that happened to the car and the situation, you know, it like, I just took care of it. All you got to do is look at it and go, okay, well, this is going to happen. So now what do I do? Can I do something about that? Yes or no? No, I can't. Okay. You got to figure it out. So at first I thought, okay, let's let them figure it out. Maybe they can do something. They couldn't. They're just too far away from everything. So luckily my oldest, you know, came in with a good idea and we capitalized on it and it was great. But I just figured it out. I took it step by step until I wasn't able to figure it out. And I took, you know, I got help from someone else. So perfect. And then the next thing happened, you know, and we're dealing with that, whatever. But it's all these moments where you can either choose to get like pissed off at something and start to get like sarcastic and aggressive, or you can just look at it and be like, okay, so what do the numbers say? Because the numbers don't lie. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm really high. Okay. Basically, my point is I had a long break. I had a lot of time off. I had to deal with a lot of shit. Yeah. This one might be a test sesh. It's been a while since I've done this. It's hard to do after a bong hit, man. But yeah, I think what I'm saying is like, men got to step up and be men more. But not like in a assholy bad way. I mean, as a man, I believe that you should be open-minded. Emotionally intelligent. Self-aware. Strong. Smart. And funny. Sounds like a fucking dating profile. And And I think that, you know, more of us have to step up to our responsibilities and really take care of them. Like taking care of getting or getting my kids what they what I think they deserve, even if the plan isn't in place and with somebody else in situations where it should be, you know, I'll try and take care of it as best as I can. And stepping up to the plate is like, that's number one, man. And trying to find people that understand that is difficult, because even people with one kid are like, oh yeah, three's no big deal. And then they watch you and you're like, oh shit. They're like, you have like another full-time job. Yeah, when they're little, yes. As they get older, they're better. But you realize as a dad, as somebody solely responsible, really, for their well-being, you have to make a lot of different sacrifices to make sure that they get what they deserve. You've had that opportunity. You've done those things. Right? So now it's their turn. So instead of you hanging out with your buddies and fucking doing whatever, take your kids somewhere they want to go. You know, and take care of business. If your ex hates you and starts shit with you all the time, just fucking ignore it. Stay quiet. Dude, I don't say but two fucking words. Okay, yeah, bye. That's it. So three, whatever. The stuff I feel like you have to do as a man is, yeah, there are times when you have to suck it up and all that shit. And then, you know, women want to find somebody that's also sensitive. But then a lot of times when you find somebody sensitive, they get pissed off when they're sensitive. So, like, I don't get it. I think I'm just going to be, like, single forever. I don't know what's going to happen. It's so hard to find somebody that's, you know, like-minded, I guess. And I'm not trying to say one way of thinking is better than the other. I don't know what I'm trying to say, man. I'm high as shit. I hope you're high as shit. I hope you're enjoying the sesh. Dude, I'm fucking high. Yeah. Step up, be a man, do your thing. Be there for your kids. But also keep boundaries and make sure that at a certain point you don't feel like you're the one being ripped off of your time and scammed of your peace. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Fuck. And stay hydrated. That's for sure. All right. Well, I just wanted to get back at you because I've been gone for a while. I hope I still have some listeners and viewers. That'd be great. I hope even after this one. I know it was a rambling rant fest that made no sense, but I'm just trying to get back into it. It's been a while since I've talked and been high like this anyway. Oh, but that's what I've been up to. Fixing car shit, getting my mom high, dating women that make no sense. Oh man. And buying new shoes. I bought new shoes. They're awesome. All right. Those are my thoughts off the stem for this week. I hope you enjoyed the sesh. I hope you come back next week with me, Justin Baroni, your friendly neighborhood pothead, on Spotify, Anchor Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. I think Podchaser is still going. Stitcher, maybe? I'm not sure. Pandora. I'm on Pandora, baby. YouTube. Wherever you get a podcast, it's out there. Yep, that's right. And don't forget to check out tots420.com for, I don't even know. You know what? Visit it. For all the episodes, at least. But I got to do something fun with that webpage. I'm going to work on that from now on. I'm doing two things. I'm changing my diet, and I'm working on something new. So that's what we're going to do. So maybe we'll have some, like, weight loss content. Because I got a baby belly that you wouldn't believe. But, yeah. If you're new to the sesh, subscribe. Like this. Whatever you do. If you're listening to it, watch it one time. Why not? It's on YouTube. Do it up. I'm in a goofy mood. All right. Until next time, keep your lids low, baby. I did that backwards. I took the coffee drink when I should have done the not coffee drink, and I should have said now. I hope you have a good weekend. You enjoy your sesh. Until next time, keep your lids low, baby.